It's a bit of a meme these days that almost everyone online is an autist, and indeed, the term autism or being an autist has become a bit of a colloquial term more than anything else. You are called an autist if you are obsessively interested in something, or there's a topic that you can't stop talking about, that sort of thing. People say, oh, don't be an autist, or stop with the autism. But of course, in addition to this colloquial sense of autism, there exists as well real autism, and there exists real autists in addition to that. And I recently had a very interesting encounter a couple of weeks ago with a guy that I know what he looks like, and I've talked to him before, who actually has real autism. He is diagnosed with autism, and it definitely affects his life. Now, what's interesting about this is not that there's a guy that I know that has autism. I guess that could be interesting, but that's not what's interesting about this. But rather, something that he told me, a story he told me about his interactions with a particular woman or girl. He's fairly young, all things considered. And the thing that's interesting here is that when you're autistic, which I happen not to be by all accounts, but when you're actually autistic, your perception of typical reproductive behavior gets completely turned on its head. And if anything, the autism functions as a screen or a screening device for very strange behavior that we regard as sort of normal within non-autistic reproductive behavioral realms. Now, the story goes like this. There's this guy I know, he's autist. He's actually pretty good looking. He's not super good looking, he's pretty good looking, pretty tall too, so he's not a bad catch, visually speaking. And he's not totally asocial. He has some people that he engages with, and he knows a few girls. And there's this one girl who ostensibly seems to show interest in him, but also has a boyfriend at the same time. And it became apparent to him, the autist, that this girl was not particularly happy in a relationship, but it took a lot of deducing to determine that. And he flat out asked her, because he's an autist, why she was spending so much time with him, and why, despite having a boyfriend, she appeared to be flirting. Because he had learned, he had asked me about it, he'd asked other people about these signals that women project and how it usually equals some kind of flirting. And she basically told him that she had been somewhat discontent, dissatisfied in her relationship, especially of late, because apparently her boyfriend had some emotional moment, and long story short, showed a moment of profound weakness, right? Who knows how profound that moment actually was, but nonetheless, she saw it, and we all know what happens when women see a man they're together with show any sort of emotional vulnerability or weakness. They get the ick, the evil ick, and all the attraction and all the appreciation goes out the window, because it is basically tantamount to a death blow by a giant maul or a great sword. It's almost always over in that moment, unless you've built up a reputation. If you're a Chad, if you have lots of money, if you've achieved a lot, Chris Bumstead, for example, the Mr. Olympia, who's a multimillionaire, looks really good, is tall, you might have some leeway. But if you're just a normal guy and you show emotion and break down, for example, or you feel weakness and show it, it's basically over, full stop, almost instantly, even if she doesn't tell you right away. So this autistic acquaintance of mine is a bit baffled, and I have to explain a number of things to him. I have to explain, for example, that this behavior that she's engaging in falls within the category of monkey branching. I explain to him what monkey branching is. Basically, looking for opportunities in advance before the thing is finally over, and that she was basically, you could say, buttering him up, or looking for an opportunity in him so that when she presses the ejection button and ends her current relationship, she can basically just go straight away to him and not worry about anything, which she thought was a bit odd. But here's the real kicker. Here's the real interesting thing about what happens when an autist engages with classic or typical female behavior. He basically calls her out indirectly and asks her if she had ever had a moment of weakness, a moment of insecurity, a moment when she just couldn't show her strength. And she admitted that she had multiple moments, and she had always run to her boyfriend for comfort. But ever since that day, that moment where he showed weakness, she couldn't do it anymore because he wasn't a solid pillar of reliability, blah, blah, that sort of thing. And she just couldn't explain. It was just a feeling, right? And he points out to her, flat out, that that's just unfair. It's a double standard. And she's not really capable of dealing with the cognitive dissonance here. because she realizes that the point that the autist is making, that she had been weak or vulnerable or however you want to frame it multiple times, and she had always gotten a pass. In fact, it was totally acceptable, but in the one instance where her boyfriend was that, it was not the case. And she was trying to understand why that worked and how that worked, and so she could only come up with something to the effect of, well, that's how we are. Women just feel that way, and men are supposed to be strong, blah, 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 that sort of thing. Now, obviously, this all has evolutionary roots. We understand why women get the ick when a man shows weakness, because it might show down the line, potentially, that he's not reliable and might not make him a good provider long-term and that sort of thing. And so, of course, there are these deep-seated evolutionary reasons that go way, way back for why women feel this way. But it doesn't change the nuts and bolts of it that it is a double standard for sure. An autist that this guy actually was, he said to her, if you're interested in me and you're just using me as a rebound opportunity, even if you're legitimately interested in me, what guarantees that if I show weakness at some point in time, you won't pull the same BS on me? And he didn't put it exactly that way. He put it in the autist way based on what he told me, which of course would be different than how I would put it. But, oh boy, apparently she had no idea how to respond to this because, yeah, basically he logically deduced, maybe via his autism, that if this thing happened to this guy because he behaved in X way just one time, what are the chances that this particular female would interact with me the same way if I act in a certain way? And it doesn't even need to be weakness, whatever she interprets as a moment of failing, etc., etc. And he just flat out asks her that. She doesn't have an answer. And eventually she has to just tuck her tail between her legs and scurry off because he basically called her out and she had no defense. She had no opportunity. She had no way of extricating herself out of the situation that she had created. Now, after all this happened, we talked extensively, and he just asked me, why is it, because he had never had a relationship before, he's fairly young, but pretty decent looking, that men bother with this sort of thing? Why is it that men go through all the rigmarole? Why is it that they deal with the stress, the BS? Why would anyone bother with this kind of double speak and this double think and all the nonsense? And these are sincere, legitimate, autistic questions that demand answers. And the simple answer is most men are not autistic. Most men, in order to stick it in order to get the punani that they want, they'll put up with contradictions. They'll put up with double standards. They'll put up with terrible behavior. They'll put up with crazy and psychotic behavior. I know I have once in my life, just because of the punani. I'm sure all of you know the story by now. It was one of my first relationships. This girl had enormous jugosauri. The boinking was insane, and the blowjobs were insane. And on top of all of that, she really knew how to cook. And unfortunately, the young version of me back then could not resist that. So men put up with the BS for basically one reason. But this guy, who's an actual autist, is just thinking about it in a completely different way. He's not thinking in the typical, arguably, irrational way that we do as normal men, especially if you're young. He's thinking about basically the logic behind it, why it doesn't make sense that you would deal with this kind of irrational, unpredictable behavior simply to justify your libidinous desires. In his case, it just didn't make any sense to him. And ultimately, I do think there's a big takeaway from this. Yes, this guy is autistic. Yes, he's different. But sometimes people that are not sporting a standard psychology, people that are not quote-unquote normal, can have certain insights into our weird behavior as non-autists or people who sport a standard psychology, just how weird it all is. And it should give you pause as well, because at the end of the day, this type of hypocrisy, these type of double standards, it's a lot of BS to deal with. Now, I've always been probably less libidinous than most men. A lot of that has to do with being chronically sleep deprived, I well imagine, almost certainly. But after having gone through several relationships in my life, what made me realize that this kind of nonsense is not worth it is the fact that, yes, you can get your pee-pee wet occasionally, but does that ever justify the long-term stress, the fecal matter test, etc., etc.? Now, it's entirely possible that Chad Thunderschlong has a different experience than I do and would have a different experience. I'd assume he would, a much better one. I assume, at least to varying degrees, that Chad Thunderschlong does not have to undergo so many fecal matter tests, does not have to undergo the same BS. But as an average guy, I would say when you reflect upon that, and sometimes you need an autist to actually point this out to you, although I was aware of it, but for the younger guys out there, that this definitely bears consideration. Because if you're not Chad Thunderschlong, if you're not that guy, the chances are that if you do find a relationship, it is going to be like a full-time job. And I've talked about this a lot. If you're not special in some way, and usually by that I mean look really good, tall, impressive, your relationship will be like a full-time job. And it's going to have overtime clocked in there that you're not going to get paid for. And you're going to have to deal with a lot of BS in the process just because you need to get your pee-pee wet. And the chances that the woman in question is going to pull some BS with you, if you're not Chad Thunderschlong, are relatively high. So at the end of the day, sometimes it takes an autist to realize something that takes normal men years, if not decades. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are fantastic. Without you, the channel could not exist. Thank you so much. And if you can hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos, it would be much appreciated. Engage in the usual YouTube jazz of commenting, liking the video, sharing the video, maybe subbing if you're not yet a sub. Also be appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until the next time, may the gods watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.